Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Different ways this has been translated to try to communicate the idea. One has it as not just within you, but the idea of is in your midst. That's in the New American Standard. The Darby says in the midst of you. And here's some other things to think about with regard to the kingdom of God and how it is in our midst. Jesus was talking to them in chapter 11 and he says, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's the king. He's doing miracles. And they're calling him to the mat and saying, why do you do this on the feast, on the Sabbath day? Why do you act out? Why do you not stay within the navigational beacons that have been here since Moses' time? He says, listen. They were saying he cast out demons by Beelzebub. He says, listen. He says, if I do this by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is right here. They can't even see it. Do you know people go to church every week and many times they don't even see the kingdom of God? Before you all came in this morning in Sunday school, we prayed. We said, God, the kingdom of God's coming together today. Because that's what's happening right now. The kingdom of God right now. All the citizens right here that know Jesus, we're all in the kingdom. We're sitting here and saying, this is good, man. That's God's word, man. Jesus is beautiful. He's awesome. Can't wait to see him. That burnt man on a tree pointing up to Jesus. Yeah, I get that because that's who God is. He says, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Other places he would talk about even some of these very powerful things. Luke 10, earlier than the one I just mentioned, which was in chapter 11, he's talked about kingdom of God 22 times out of 32 times up to this point. So everything Jesus is saying in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, really culminates here where they're saying, show us the kingdom. Where's that? How do we know about it? When's it coming? And all that. Well, he says this in chapter 10, where he was still provoking them, trying to get them on board to see it. He tells his disciples, heal the sick, and they say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. How did it get there? Well, it was near to them right there because the disciples were there. Do you know where you go, the kingdom goes? Did you know that? It's just like you being an ambassador, which we're told we are in Corinthians. It's like you being in Russia and you're an ambassador for the United States. So wherever you go, the United States goes. An assault on you as an ambassador is an assault on the kingdom of the United States, if you will. An assault on the United States. So you understand the concept. He says, heal the sick that are therein in those cities that I send you to. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, do we wipe off against you? Notwithstanding, be ye sure this day that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Do you realize you take the kingdom with you? You see how much of a powerful impact that can make on your psyche if you would just get in line with the reality? It's huge. The Bible says in Matthew 12 and verse 28, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So when he talks about the kingdom of God being in your midst or come unto you or is in your midst, he could be looking at Nicodemus and saying he's right there. You just don't see him yet. He could be looking at his disciples. You're standing in it. It's all here. It's all around you. However, he was trying to telegraph to these Pharisees their answer, they weren't getting it. So he turns from them, which is what God does. You know, if a person refuses to hear the word of God, then the words go quiet. Many times they go completely dark. You know, when a person determines in their mind, I'll do church no more, they are playing with fire because the Lord is willing for that. Wonderfully enough, what Jesus does, though, is he does pursue us because he knows we're ignorant. He knows maybe we're babes, but when you get somebody who's a mature believer and understands more and they walk away, they're playing with fire. But God is gracious. He's long-suffering. He waits like the prodigal son. You know, we had that a couple chapters back. You have him waiting and he's looking at the street. And he's waiting for that person to come back and he runs and hugs them and restores them immediately upon their taking an initiative to do so. That's who God is. He's a good God. The thing you look at, you see. All we see is fire and brimstone, and we see earthquakes, and we see plagues, and we see pestilences, because God has to discipline and spank, and He has to remove the evil and the leaven. What's that all about? Well, that's God protecting His kids. Have you ever told your kids, don't play with little Johnny? He's a terror. If you haven't done it, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to distance yourself. And sometimes, like when the sons of Korah said, you don't have any authority, Moses. Who put you in charge? God says, listen, separate those tribes. And tomorrow I'll meet with you. If I do a new thing, you'll know whose side God's on here. And that was the first recorded earthquake. And those people went down into flames alive. As if God to say, that's where people go who become rebellious. Don't become rebellious. Childlike faith. In malice be as children. So He says unto His disciples in verse 22. See how He turns from them? He turns from them because they have no use for it. They're demanding now, and He gave them an answer quick. It's not going to come with your parrot to rest. Oh, you're not going to be able to scrutinize this as if you somehow have dominion over it. This thing can't be managed by you. So He turns to His disciples and He says this. He says, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. As I said, it's going to get darker. Jesus is full bright light today. He's going to be crucified. The Bible says, and they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Now, this is a parallel passage to what Jesus has said in Matthew 24 and 25, where He's talking to the Jews and He's saying, don't go out when they say, go here, go there. There's going to be many false prophets. He kind of goes to a picture of not just talking to His disciples in real time, but He talks to His disciples across time here. Because we hear the worshipers of Mormonism and all these people who think they've had some kind of vision, like the Jehovah's Witnesses with Joseph Smith and the spectacles. It was funny, the first person I really got to know with regard to the Mormonism cult, the guy was an optometrist who believed in the spectacles that somebody found so they could read tablets. And so it's weird. But we have him telling us that they're going to tell you there's these different gods. You've got Buddha, Confucius, Allah, and all of the different gods out there. In India, they got God for everything. And in a New Age philosophy, it's all there. And He says, you're going to say, see here or see there, go not after them, He says, nor follow them. Why? Because for as the lightning lighteneth out of one part of heaven and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. Underline the words, in His day. Because in essence, He's trying to tell you that He's got a day. And in between the time that He is crucified and He suffers, He says in verse 25, but first must He suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So He's trying to give you the big picture. He's now turned His disciples. You're going to wish to see a day like this. You aren't going to see it. You're going to be walking by faith, not by sight. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to lead you, teach you. And when He speaks, He'll speak of Me. He says, this is what's going to happen between this generation and the Lord's day when He comes back, in Christ's day. Now, let me distinguish a couple of things for you here. First of all, He's telling us that they're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight for a really deliberate season. It's going to be a long time because He uses the word generation. But in verse 25, He says, Christ must first suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now, for those of you who are not really familiar with much of the Bible, I want you to know that when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, we call it Palm Sunday, that on the first Palm Sunday, when Jesus came in on that donkey and He presented Himself as the king, He was fulfilling a prophecy out of the book of Zechariah that says, behold, Israel, your king cometh, meek and mild, sitting upon a donkey. And that happened to the day 483 years after it was predicted it would happen. He said, when this certain edict was given, if you count 483 years, Jesus will come into the city that very day. And then in Daniel chapter 9, it says, and after this, Messiah will be cut off. It happened within a week. And that's what He's talking about here. These disciples were being trained, taught, brought along with Jesus. And He was constantly trying to drill into their minds. Everything's right on course. But they miss the point because they're so grief-stricken and earthbound, and they can't get their mind around how He could die. But here He is telling them He's going to have to be rejected, suffer many things, and be rejected in verse 25. That's huge because that rejection was a crucifixion. 3 days later, He rises from the dead, proves He was who He says He was. We split time based on His existence. This is 2020. in the year of our Lord. Anno Domini. That is Latin, meaning in the year of our Lord. You have B.C., before Christ. You have Anno Domini. You have Jesus splitting time. No other man was so remarkable or amazing. The entire world agreed, and then they decided not to. So now they're trying to change it to B.C.E. and A.C.E., before the Common Era and after the Common Era. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Well, you let them do what they're doing. Don't you buy what they're selling. Bible says in verse 24, as the lightning lighteneth out of one part of the heaven and shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his time. The Bible talks about this lightning quite a bit in different places. The Bible says in chapter 24 of Matthew, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So when he says the Lord in his day, he's talking about his coming. Think about that. You want to know what the day of Christ is? It's not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the judgment time. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be the tribulation. We're getting there. We'll be raptured out. There will be a time of tribulation. It's going to be terrible. Awful. Amazingly awful. But the Christians will be raptured out of here. And then he will come again. And that's the day of Christ. That's the day where he's coming from the wedding to the wedding feast. That's how Jews did their weddings. They didn't have a reception right after. They had a week of blessing, just having that kind of a honeymoon time. And then they came back for the feast. That feast is going to last for 1,000 years. If you know Jesus, you're going to be there. It's going to be good. Not only if you know Jesus, you're going to be there. You're going to be in a glorified state when you come back. You're going to rule and reign with him. You're going to have the wherewithal to pull that off. I mean, right now you say, man, they put me in charge of the kitchen. Man, my wife's saying, what happened to everything? This place is a mess. You know, but in that day, we're all going to have it going on. Okay, we're going to be able to put two thoughts together and do 15 things at the same time and do all the things that are required of us. Because the Bible says, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. And I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? The Bible says that this is going to be his day. Matthew 25 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of his angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Again, in his day. You ever heard an old guy say, well, back in my day, well, we don't say that too much because we don't want to admit we're old. But back when I was a kid, the men would say, back in my day, we used to walk to school every day, and it was always uphill. Going and coming. And all that, you know, it's just all the stories, right? And, oh, in my day, everything was harder. And it probably was. But I'm saying to you that this is the way he's saying. It's in his day. In his day. When Jesus is here again, he's coming. He's coming with his saints. He's coming for his glory. The Bible says in verse 31 of chapter 25, as I said a moment ago, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory with the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 says that you should not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor as by letter, as from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand. The problem the Thessalonians were having is they thought they were in the tribulation. The day of Christ was about to happen. And they had somehow missed the rapture. They understood day of the Lord, tribulation. After the day of the Lord, tribulation, there would be the day of Christ. And so he's telling them, if you don't get that right, when you try to do chapter 2 of Thessalonians, you got to do a little gymnastics to try to squeeze day of the Lord in there because it doesn't work. And I'm just saying that to any scholars who are listening out there trying to say, well, I like all these new translations. Rain on that, man. Get back to the majority text and you'll be a lot better served. Verse 8 of the same chapter in 2 Thessalonians, it says, and then shall the wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed. See, he's telling them, you're not in the tribulation because the wicked one would have to be revealed if the day of Christ was about to dawn. And he says, the wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy, listen to this, with the brightness of his coming. Why did he say like the lightning? Because he's coming and the Antichrist is going to be slain and so will the false prophet. Both will be cast alive into the lake of fire. I'm telling you guys, we've got a lot to look forward to and it's going to happen in real time. And as Job said, I will see it with my own eyes and not those of another. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.